Okay, welcome to November 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is because history is important. You see, one of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere, not knowing where we came from. We just wind up going in circles, repeating the mistakes of the past. So yeah, history is important. Be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson, and let me know what you think about today's episode. Your involvement and interaction is highly encouraged. So thank you for that. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts. And begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now on to today's program, the Battle of Cain's Hill, Jeffrey Dahmer's killed in prison, I'll talk about the Tehran Conference, and Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You tops the pop charts. All right, so now let's do this. 1862, Battle of Cain's Hill. As the plaque reads on Highway 45, late in November 1862, General S. Marmaduke, with 2,000 cavalry, occupied Cane Hill Bridge. General John C. Blunt, with 5,000 cavalry and infantry and 30 pieces of artillery, met them at the dawn of November 28, 1862, retreating slowly, making stands at Boonesboro and Russellville, fighting a rearguard action. Marmaduke drew the Union Army into a narrow defile on the Cove Creek Road. This battle raged for 9 hours over 15 miles of timber and brush roads. As night fell, Marmaduke withdrew towards Van Buren. Blunt would return to Cane Hill. And in Creeper News, 1994, Dahmer is killed in prison. In all, Jeffrey Dahmer, born in 1960, killed 17 men, mostly African-American gay men. There are so many weird stories about this guy. His fascination for gore began at an early age of 4 years old when he saw his father remove animal bones from under the house. Jeffrey liked the way that the bones sounded when they cracked and began collecting them from dead roadkill. When he was 10, he asked his father, who was an analytical chemist, over a dinner of chicken one night, what might happen if bones were bleached. He would find out later. Fast forward to July 2nd, 1991, he was caught in a dramatic arrest and police found in his number 213 apartment a 57-gallon drum full of decaying human body parts, a couple of human heads in the refrigerator, bones in the freezer, and a big mess everywhere. This is why I won't go into apartments number 213. Just stay away from them. After getting sentenced 15 consecutive life sentences, Dahmer spent 2 years in prison when fellow inmate Christopher Scarver attacked Dahmer with a big metal bar, slamming his head against the wall a few times, and Dahmer died 1 hour later. When he died, his mother, Joyce Flint, angrily asked the media, "Now is everybody happy? Now that he's bludgeoned to death? I don't know, Joyce. Why don't you ask the families of Dahmer's victims? I'm sure some of them were pleased your monster of a son was bludgeoned to death. Joyce." 1943, the Tehran Conference. The Big Three, FDR, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin met in Iran to talk about how to stop Nazi Germany. This is where they first began to discuss Operation Overlord, which was the Normandy campaign. The American and British coalition could attack France from the north, led by Dwight Eisenhower, and the Soviets from the east to distract Hitler's armies. In return for America's assistance in the war, Stalin agreed to help America against its war with Japan. The meeting went extremely well. Almost everyone was happy, except for First Lady Eleanor. Apparently, Roosevelt had uninvited her, stating that women weren't allowed. Then she found out that United Kingdom's Mrs. Churchill and China's Mrs. Chiang Kai-shek attended. Oops. That would be the doghouse for you tonight, Delano. And moving on to entertainment news, 1993, Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You reaches the top of the Billboard Hot 100, where it would stay unchallenged until next March. That would be a total of 14 active weeks, with the last 2 weeks of December being non-active by Billboard magazine. When Whitney Houston died, the song re-entered the charts in her honor and made the top three, the only time a song had ever done that. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for November 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you thought about today's ep. For instance, Civil War buffs, anything you care to add to that Battle of Cain's Hill story? Or what about Jeffrey Dahmer? Did he get what he deserved? Whitney Houston fans, is I Will Always Love You your favorite song? If not, which one is? So yeah, let me know. Be sure to check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website as well. Good luck with those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about the Battle of Wawan, the traffic light, the Committee of Secret Correspondence, and the Sand Creek Massacre. So don't miss that. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.